The Roman Empire was basically the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. So as you go to the Mediterranean Sea, you could look at the Roman Empire. Of course, it included Britain and Spain, but for the most part, it went around the Mediterranean Sea, so all along the coast, the whole coast of the Mediterranean, and then reached in for miles, sometimes a great distance and others not as much, but they had that area of the world wrapped up. And it says in verse 1, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And so when we talk about all the world, we're talking about that whole circle there. And you can almost draw a circle and see the sphere of the world as we discussed with the Roman Empire, but it was all around the Mediterranean Sea. And that's what we're talking about. We talk about the whole world. Didn't have anything to do with other people, but with the Romans and with their whole empire, it had to do with them. And he said, we're going to tax everybody. Well, this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone, to his own city. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that God chose a couple, a young couple. We've already looked at their genealogy in the last couple of weeks of how that they, when it gets to King David, that we have one lineage of Solomon. And anybody remember the other guy's name? Nathan. The other one, named after the prophet that got David's attention, if you recall. So Nathan and Solomon, and that lineage back to David. Now we find Mary and Joseph. But here's the problem. They don't live in Bethlehem. But the Bible says, the prophecy says, that this baby will be born in Bethlehem. In fact, at a certain tower of Migdal, where the sheep were born, delivered, wrapped in swaddling cloth, so that they would be without blemish for the sacrifice, because that's where those lambs were born for the sacrifice. And so at the Tower of Migdal in Bethlehem, that same place, and I know we've talked about all this before, but in the lineage of David, where we go back to Rahab from Jericho, right? And Ruth from Moab. And we see the lineage, the Obed, Jesse, and David, and then Solomon and Nathan. And then it breaks off and it goes in different directions. And here are these two people of the same lineage living in Nazareth in Galilee. And the angel of the Lord comes to her and says, you're going to have the Son of God. Said, God is going to come upon you. You're going to be with child, or you're going to be pregnant. You're going to have a boy. And his name will be Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us. And she says, hold on a second. I need to let you know something. I'm a virgin. And he says, I know. That's part of the plan. And so then went to Joseph. You know, they're a spouse. That means they're married, even though they're not living together. They're legally bound. You say, how can they be legally bound if they haven't come together yet? Remember, it says that Joseph was going to put her away privately, which means he was going to get a divorce from her. Even though they weren't living in the same house, they were engaged. And boy, so much information, isn't it? You see, here's the way it works. Two men agreed that their children were going to get married because the children wanted to get married. And so they made a deal about what would happen. Well, then the husband would go back and prepare that whole year up to or around that time for the wedding. He had to get all the food arranged. He had to prepare usually an addition to the house of his father's house. He would add an addition to the house, a room, a honeymoon suite, if you want to call it that. That's where they would live until they got out on their own. And so he would, in that year, he would gather material. He would build onto the house. He would gather up all the food for the banquet. And the banquet had to be, you know, prepared and ready. And then the father, once everything was done, the groom would go to his dad and he said, Dad, I think I'm ready. And his dad would say, well, I'll be the judge of that. And so he would wait until an appropriate time and he would assess. He'd go, well, we have enough food. We have enough material. The building's done. You know, everything's ready. The banquet is ready. And then it may be in the night when they would send a messenger out and say, go get your bride. Go get your bride. And the groom would then go and get his bride in the middle of the night. Remember the 10 virgins? 5 were ready, 5 were not. That's why. They'll go get the bride and bring her back. And so that announcement would be made in the middle of the night. And then those who would come to the marriage supper were guests. And those who refused to come, they weren't ready. They weren't anticipating it, were left behind. They were left outside. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, all this kind of stuff. God had a plan for Joseph and Mary. And that year of waiting while Joseph was getting everything ready for the marriage, God sent Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, came to Mary and says, hey, look, you're going to have a baby. And then Joseph found out about it. He got mad. Well, wouldn't you? If you're engaged and all of a sudden she's pregnant and you know it's not yours. And God came to him in a prophetic dream and says, hold on a second. This is you sent an angel in a dream. This is the Son of God. And so Joseph said, okay, if it's God's will, it's God's will. And so they still haven't had that wedding. And he goes and he takes her because now they got to be taxed. Now they got this problem. They live in Nazareth and they have to go to Bethlehem. God says, here are the two I want to use. This is where Jesus is going to be born. So how do I get them from here to here? Taxes. That's always the Christian solution, isn't it? Tax. Now, look, God already had this ordered. God already had this figured out. The timing of the birth of Christ is historically is timed and framed just right for the benefit of language and the road system and the travel and the universality, if you will, of the region. Because you look at all the world that we describe here, the Roman Empire, and then you go and you look at Paul's travels as a missionary, and you're going to find all the world is right there. Now, there's a whole great big world outside of all the world. But that was what God was working with in the frame of reference of what God was doing. That was the whole world. So God says, okay, there's going to be a tax. So Cyrenius is governor of Syria. Caesar Augustus says, everybody has to go back to your home place, to your homeland. They go back to this place, the same place where Rahab and Ruth and Jesse and David. Oh, isn't that incredible? The same place. Right there in Bethlehem. Now, here's the thing. When we have the Christmas program, we do a play. We watch it on the show. Usually, we have them arriving just in time, right? They made it to Bethlehem, and that first night, they get in there, and she has a baby. That's not what the Bible says, though. It doesn't say they got there just in time, and she delivered. It says, and it came to pass while they were there. So, it didn't happen. I know we always do the program. Knock on the door and she's going to have a baby right now. We got to come in. But that's not what the Bible says. Verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So was his wife. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. In other words, she was close, right? And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished. Didn't say that night, while they were there, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, just like they did the lambs that were born for the sacrifice that were delivered in that tower of Migdol right there. Incredible. And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And it was all part of God's perfect plan. There was no room on purpose. There was a tax. How many of you love taxes? But it's on purpose, right? Some things are uncomfortable. They're not what we want, but they're necessary to bring about God's plan. And so that's what we're seeing here. So as we see that God has orchestrated the plan to get them from Nazareth to Bethlehem, he does the same thing in our lives, doesn't he? He shifts and orchestrates things in our lives to put people in our lives that we need, to move people out of our lives that are going to, that could destroy us, to put us in opportunities and positions where we can be useful, where we can help people. God does that. Never doubt God's timing. Trust God's timing. The very Son of God was born. And it was quite unimpressive. Think about it. Who knew that the Son of God had been born in Bethlehem? Joseph and Mary. All of heaven knew. She had told Elizabeth earlier, said, "Look, I'm pregnant. John the Baptist leapt in the womb." But now she's actually delivered. Who knows? Quite unimpressive. And then God says, let's tell the shepherds. So he sends the angel of the Lord and the heavenly host, and they come to the field, the shepherd's field, where the shepherds are keeping their flock by night, and scared them. But the angel says, I come to bring you good news of great joy. Verse 10, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And now the shepherds know. But see, the shepherds aren't impressive themselves. Nobody really celebrated the shepherds. By the way, the shepherds spent a lot of time away from other people. How many of you like doing that? Don't raise your hand. The more I get to know people, the more I like my dog. You ever see that t-shirt? The shepherds were, yeah, they interacted. They would come into a town and they would interact. But they were travelers. And the message comes to them on purpose because why? Because they will travel from village to village and city to city in contact with people. And aren't you going to tell the story about how one night you were out in the shepherd's field and you had your sheep and you were minding your own business, and then there was a flash and there was a voice that says, I'm the angel of the Lord, and I come to bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all men. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I think you're going to tell people. And then there was a heavenly host all around them and singing and praising God. I think you would tell people about that. And then they rushed into the city. They rushed and they said, let's go see what this is all about. And they ran into the town as quickly as they could to the tower, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 16. They came with haste, the Bible says. But it's unimpressive. Mary and Joseph and the shepherds know. But they were unimpressive. That most of the world was uninformed. That was the problem. They were uninformed. Today, the world is uninformed. They may have some idea, some speckling of information about God and Jesus and the church and salvation and the Bible, but they don't know. They're uninformed. And they're unimpressed. Just like then, very quietly, a baby is born. Some shepherds come and see it. They go back out. They're telling people about it. But nowhere do we see that that drew a bigger crowd. He's circumcised on the eighth day according to the Scriptures. And then as when her purifying is complete, they take him to Jerusalem. See, because she had to go to Jerusalem to give an offering. An offering was required. You know, this is the firstborn. This is the firstborn son. He had to be dedicated to God. It required an offering at the temple in Jerusalem. And so they go to Jerusalem. Think about this. Think about all the people that are in Jerusalem. Here's a man and his wife and a baby. And it's unimpressive. There were no trumpets. Ba-ba-da-da. Here he comes. No parade, no escort, no flags waving. Just a man and his wife and his baby. They come in, they give, they go through all of this. And there's this old guy there named Simeon. It doesn't tell us how old he is, so I can call him old without offending you. Verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout. But here's the key. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. So here we have the presence of the Holy Ghost upon someone in the New Testament, which as we look at the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost, the anointing of God, was on prophets and priests and kings. Now we don't see Simeon as necessarily any one of them, but remember, a prophet is anybody God chooses. Farmer, herdman, doesn't matter. Anybody God chooses. And so here's this man, and the Spirit of God is upon him. He's a man of prayer. He's a man of faith. He's got hope for God. He's got hope for Israel. He's looking for the answers of God. He's searching and hoping, and all of a sudden, one day, here comes this baby. Verse 26, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death until he see the Lord's Christ. So he knew sometime in his life he would see the Savior, the Messiah, the promised deliverer of Israel. Isn't that incredible? He knew it would be in his lifetime. How many of you know for a certainty by inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit of the Scriptures, that the rapture is going to occur in your lifetime? We don't know. We might think it will. One of the kids asked me the other day, you think the Lord's going to come back before I go to college? I said, I think so, but you better mind your grades. Might need that scholarship. I think so. I don't know. Simeon had a promise, before you die, you're going to see the Messiah. Now, what do you think entered his mind when God told him that? You're going to see the Messiah. I imagine he had the same thing in my mind right now, a grown man. That's not how it worked out, is it? The Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, was not a grown man when Simeon saw him. He was a baby. A young baby. Verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. So we find out that as they came to give the offering and to dedicate Jesus to the Lord, that nobody knew who they were. The shepherds were talking about it, but nobody knew who they were. Now Simeon knows. And he begins to praise God. Verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to the light in the Gentiles and glory of thy people Israel. And so now Simeon knows who he is. Right? Incredible. Unimpressive. Then comes another woman, an older woman. Verse 36, a prophetess of great age, the Bible says. She was a widow of about 84 years. Which departed not from the temple, but she served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise to the Lord. So while Simeon's praising God, Anna walks in, and she starts praising God. But outside of them, it's very unimpressive. Outside of those who are informed, it's very unimpressive. The religious leaders were not informed because they were not looking for him. Guys, hear what I'm saying. If you believe in the rapture, which the Bible teaches, that one day God's going to blow a trumpet And those who believe in Christ will be called out of here up to heaven. If you believe in the rapture, as I do, as I believe the Bible teaches completely, I have no apologies on that, then you ought to be looking for that. And those who believed in His first coming as a baby when He was born in Bethlehem, they were looking for it, they were ready for it, but everybody else, it happened and they didn't even know it. What's going to happen when the rapture occurs? Think about how unimpressive that's going to be to those who are not taken up. You ever thought of it that way? Unless their pilot's a Christian, right? Or their bus driver. And he's taken up or she's taken up. Those who are not informed are unimpressed. Only those who believe and have hope and have faith and are looking for will be impressed and will be fulfilled. You know why Simeon saw Jesus and was able to hold the Son of God in his hands? Because he loved God and he was, let's use the term he used about David, a man after God's own heart. Because he loved God and he worshiped God and he searched after the will of God. You want to know why Anna was able to see that and praise God? Because she had a faith, because she was trying to serve God. They had hope. They believed in prophecy. They paid attention to the prophecy. In the temple, there were people that were doing their job. And their job was supposed to be a spiritual job. But they had gotten caught up in the mundane repetition of the work of religion. Let me warn you, don't get caught up in the repetition of the work of religion. Not tasks, but worship, relationship, adoration, praise and glory and honor to God. Seeking His will, looking for His next move. Because when we lose our attention, when we move our attention off of where God is and what God's doing, we're going to miss something, and it may be a big something. The Son of God is born, and nobody knows it. God is in control. When you look at the fulfillment of the prophecy here, and we'll talk about a lot of that tonight, but when you look at each step, there are some things. God's given us free will. I said in Sunday school, we agreed this morning, that people do what they want to do, right? But let me assure you of one thing. There are some things in the timeline of God and what is past, present, and future that God is going to insist occur at His timing. The Bible says it is appointed unto a man wants to die. You have an appointment with God. I don't mean the prayer time in the morning. I mean at some point God says your number is up and it's time to go. And it doesn't matter how good you eat and how healthy you are. I thought I would have gotten more amens over that one. We ought to be healthy because I'll tell you something. It's not just about dying. It's about feeling good too. It's about being healthy. So, you know, be mindful of that. But it doesn't matter how healthy you are or all that kind of stuff. When it's time, it's time. It is appointed unto a man wants to die. After this, the judgment. So there are some things. We have free will. We can do many things, whatever we want to do. But there are some things God says on this day, at this time, the trumpet's going to blow. And I'm taking my children home. And there are some things that must be in place before that trumpet can blow. And if you look at prophecy, I'll tell you that there's not a single one that's missing. Everything's in place. Everything's ready. Will He come today? Don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. I know what to expect. I have hope. I have faith. And I'm not going to be looking somewhere else or doing something else when He comes. I'm going to be looking for Him. I'll be ready for Him. And if you're expecting Him, if you have hope and faith, you'll be expecting Him too. and you won't miss it. Let's stand. We need to take the moment to reflect in our hearts and consider this. Are you born again? Have you put your faith in Him? I'm talking about being uninformed and unimpressed. You see, here's the thing. God sent His only begotten Son. That's what we're celebrating. The birth of the Son of God. What does it mean to you? He was born to die on that cross and conquer the grave on the third day to give us everlasting life, but only to those who believe. What's on your heart this morning? Would you pray and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for me. And I put my faith in You. I ask You to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to You. Is that your prayer this morning? Maybe say, God, I know I'm saved, but it's time for me to do more. It's time for me to start paying attention to the signs. To start making a difference in the lives of those around me. God, I want to serve. I want to do whatever is Your will. Maybe there's some other burden you have on your heart. I'd be glad to pray with you. This is your opportunity to come. The altar's open. All hearts and minds clear? Y'all got your rubber boots and your umbrellas ready? That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for the rain. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed tonight, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Hope you have a wonderful Christmas if we don't see you between now and then, okay? Anything else before we're dismissed? Thank you again to all those who worked so hard, the decorations in here and fellowship hall and all the work yesterday, and it does not go unnoticed, and the Bible says it is recorded in heaven. Anything else? Let's go to the Lord, dismissal prayer.